If you can feel pain, you're alive. If you can feel other people's pain, you are a human being. Thus spake my good wife Gayatri earlier this evening, and it struck me as entirely apposite for the Deputy Prime Minister of Britain. She can cry, all right, at the drop of the hat. All these Labour ministers can cry. They can even cry for their own children, but they cannot cry for other people's children, least of all the children of Gaza. They have been making mothers cry. Children bleed and die. Over 2 years now, they have been deeply involved and complicit, collaborating openly with the slaughter of the innocents. But catch them out cheating on their tax, well, they'll burst into tears on Sky News at the drop of a hat. All kinds of changes in British politics this week. The Green Party elected someone called Zach Polanski. I've never met the man. He's an actor like Zelensky. It's an extraordinary thing. He's an actor like Zelensky, and his acting like Zelensky's is not all that good. He's now cozying up to Jeremy Corbyn's Your Party. But when I was on the aforementioned Sky News describing the witch hunt over fake anti-Semitism allegations against Jeremy Corbyn, Zach Polanski was saying this. I don't need to look down at notes now or ever because it is burned in my mind. Zach Polanski said he could never vote for Jeremy Corbyn for two reasons. One, he was a proud Jew, and two, he was a proud European. A flat, clear, obvious allegation that Jeremy Corbyn was an anti-Semite and that no proud Jew could ever vote for him. He also said that Jeremy Corbyn's Labour Party was rife with anti-Semitism. Now, he may have changed his mind. Maybe the slaughter of the innocents in Gaza has changed his mind, in which case I rejoice with all in heaven at the repentance of a sinner. But he may well have walked back, or will walk back, the vile, foul, atrocious smear of anti-Semitism against Corbyn, a lifelong anti-racist, but that doesn't stop him being very stupid indeed. In the same interview, Zach Polanski said that most working class people don't even own a car. He is a Green, after all, and he doesn't like cars very much. And when put to him that this would disadvantage the working class in Britain somewhat, his anti-car policies, he said most working class people in Britain don't own a car. This means either that Zach Polanski has to get out of his woolly jumper bubble, if that's not too much of a mixed metaphor, and get out more, or it means he has no idea what the words working class actually mean. Working class, I speak as the leader of the Workers' Party of Britain, working class means that you depend on your work to live. That if you had no wage, no salary coming in, you would very quickly be in trouble. It means that you rely on the sale of your labour, your work, by hand or by brain, in order to live. And guess what, Zach? Plenty of us have got cars. Most of us, because we need to have cars. And I think I speak for all of us, we ain't going to give them up for your net zero 2030 mania. In the same interview, Zach Polanski launched an absolutely gratuitous attack on me. He's already, I think, beginning to regret it. But to the much bigger news. The parade on Victory Day 80 in the Chinese capital, Beijing, was a joy to behold, and it must have set a few hearts aflutter. Those who beat the drum for war with China better not watch the video behind me right now. They better not watch the biggest military parade in human history. They better not watch the Chinese people, 1.5 billion strong, with the largest navy in the world, with the largest army in the world, with the most up-to-date weaponry in the world, the most modernized naval forces in the world. They better not watch it because, well, frankly, if they do, they'll never reach 150. Why do I mention that? Because in the West, we are always looking for more ways for people to die. We are always looking for ways in which we can persuade our elderly to climb into a pod, have a glass of sherry, and shuffle off this mortal coil so as not to be a burden on the rest of us. But a hot mic caught Xi Jinping and President Putin discussing how, with biotechnology nowadays, it's perfectly possible that we will all live to 150. Well, there are some people that I hope do live until they're 150. And Xi Jinping and Putin would definitely be amongst them. But the fact that the sun is rising in the east has been completely vindicated, completely proven by the events not just of the military parade yesterday, but by the staggering success of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, SCO, summit meeting in Tianjin. All the world was there. Tout le monde was there, except our part of the world, of course. We wouldn't dream of sitting down with 44% of the world's population. We wouldn't dream of being in a room where 50% of the world's wealth was there seated at the conference tables. We're at war with Russia and China. Most of the world is desperately seeking a photo opportunity with Russia and China. And there are a number of other interesting straws in the wind. Kim Jong-un, the leader of North Korea, who once upon a time, quite recently actually, would not even have been there, was in third place on the plinth. He was the honored guest just immediately below the salt from Vladimir Putin. North Korea has come in from the cold, and its nuclear and military power and the enormous wealth which exists underneath the mountains of North Korea has suddenly widely been recognized. But we wouldn't have anything to do with that, of course. We don't want to trade with North Korea. We don't want to invest in North Korea. We're sanctioning North Korea. But the Global South is embracing North Korea rather warmly. There were other surprises. At the SCO, the leader of the fourth largest country in the world, not a lot of people know that, Gayatri, Indonesia, the fourth largest country in the world, the president was unable to go to the SCO because of Western-sponsored riots in his country, an attempted color revolution, just like the ones we've seen so many times before, and no good ever comes of them. But Prabowo, the president of Indonesia, the fourth biggest country in the world, the largest Muslim country in the world, was definitely at the military parade in Beijing yesterday. And he, too, had pride of place. It was a very significant event because it showed that, like Sukarno and the Bandung Conference in the 1950s, Indonesia is back on the world stage and it is no longer a slave of its former American alliances. At least that's my point of view. We'll see what my good wife has to say later in the show on it. The SCO decisions were far-reaching and wide-reaching. They are, for example, going to institute their own form of SWIFT, the international banking clearance system that the American control of has stymied economic development all over the world, making everyone a slave to the dollar. Well, 45% of the world's population are no longer slaves to the dollar. Just en passant, the dollar has lost 20% of its value just in the last few months. Take that, Putin! And The truth is, this new settlement system, which will dovetail, I'm sure, with the wider, still, BRICS settlement system, marks the beginning of the end of Western hegemony over the world's financial systems. And if you think about it, it's far, far too late. It is obvious that if China is trading with Russia, there is absolutely zero need for any dollars to be involved. And ditto all the other members of the SCO, especially when making the dollar involved is prolonging the hegemony of the superpower, otherwise rapidly declining, and which is led by someone whose mental health is increasingly in question. On this momentous occasion, which I remind you, I kept asking AFP this question last night, what was the occasion of this mega military parade that you are so determined to make people tremble in fear at? The occasion was the celebration of the defeat of fascism, the defeat of German Nazism, Italian fascism, and the imperialist militarism of the Japanese Empire. Is that not something all of us should be celebrating? Shouldn't Trump actually have been there on the plinth? He could have hugged the little rocket man while he was at it. Isn't that something that Macron and Starmer should be celebrating? Weren't we all on the same side? Well, France didn't play that much of a part, but theoretically, weren't we all on the same side in the Second World War? Therefore, how is it that a celebration of the 80th anniversary of the victory should be something to sneer at, something to fear at? Not a lot of people know that China lost 20 million people at the hands of Hitler's allies, the Japanese imperialist aggressor, and that their war didn't begin in 1941 like yours, Donald. The rest of us started in 1939. Your country waited to see if anyone would attack her before joining in. China was invaded in 1931. 10 whole years before the United States joined the war. Anyway, back to Donald Trump. He made a statement on Truth Social last night. You may have seen it, in which he accused the leaders there of conspiring against the United States of America. It may be quite the most bizarre diplomatic pronunciamento ever made in the entire history of developed society since the last one that Donald Trump issued. But let me not be distracted. The sun rose in the east yesterday, like thunder over the bay out of China, to quote Kipling. And that sun is going to warm the clear majority of the world's population. The fact that Western media scarcely even mentioned that half the world was gathered in Tianjin, never mind sent a reporter there, never mind analysed its importance, never mind wondered what it meant for our future, is a sign both of their inherent orientalism, anything happening down south, anything happening out east is really not of great importance to us. Taylor Swift's new boyfriend is so much more important. But it's also a sign that they are engaged in a systematic conspiracy against their own readers, against their own viewers, against their own voters. They are trying to persuade all of those groups that Russia and China are their enemies and that they, in their parlous economic situation, had better start stumping up not just more, but double what they were already stumping up for weapons and war. And in order to achieve that, they have to have you thinking negative thoughts all the time about Russia and about China. China is the leader of the world. My children go to Chinese school. My children learn Chinese. So should yours. It will come in handy in the jobs market in years and decades to come. Any sensible person, any sensible country, would be getting alongside the new superpowers of the South and of the East and trying to sell them our goods and services. Trying to tell them that with our longer experience, we have expertise that we could place at their disposal. That it could be, in Xi Jinping's favorite phrase, a win-win situation. You can come to our universities. You can study our literature and our language. We'll help you improve it. It's probably the one thing the Chinese could do with improving. We will let you have the benefit of our experience as the world's first industrial country. Talking about Britain now. But we don't do any of these things. Instead, we have made the Eurasian landmass, which is the future of the world, which is the richest land in the whole world, which is a treasure trove of oil and gas and gold and minerals and nickel and everything that is needed for a modern economy. While we are shutting down our own economies in order to feed the beast of war and preparation for war. Macron yesterday told French hospitals that they had to move into an emergency program of preparation for mass casualties of French soldiers for a conflict with Russia that he expects by the middle of 2026, which is less than 1 year from now. Well, I hope the French do better in that conflict than they have done in previous conflicts, but that might be unworthy of me. But wouldn't it be better if you really felt that, little Macron, to try and avoid it, rather than prepare for a mass casualty amongst your military? Wouldn't it be better to try some diplomacy, to try some jaw-jaw, rather than preparation for war? Well, I've lost my screen, so I have no idea what time it is or who's coming up next. I just know this. This is the mother of all talk shows, and you better not go anywhere at all. Stay tuned.